Just a quick reminder before we get into today's show, you can call or text us at 570-POD-WOD-1. That's 570-763-9231 with your ideas for icebreakers, topics, or just general feedback. We'll probably use it in the show, and you'll save us some creative energy, which we greatly appreciate. Find out everything about the show at yallheard.me. Now, on to the episode.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard.
Yes.
A podcast from Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
Are not related.
And this is a podcast where two little bunnies give you hints about where the eggs are hidden so that you can beat all the other participants in this year's Easter egg hunt. We also expect a cut of whatever's in the eggs, whether it's candy or money.
Oh, how cute.
Marissa, how are you?
Nice. I was going to pause to give you a chance. I'm glad you finally took advantage of it. One neutral thing. One exciting thing to only me and no one else. One, I went to a zine festival yesterday.
It was cool.
I've never been in a room with so many socially awkward people in my life.
People express themselves through their work.
Yeah, and again, not again. I didn't say this. I mean, it's worth noting I am totally socially awkward, but usually there is someone at the receiving end who's better to balance that out. And oof, that was an emotionally taxing day. I will just say that.
Did you get any zines, Bo?
I did. I got a. Well, hopefully no one at the zine fest is listening to this podcast, but. I got way more than I meant to because it was such a – the venue wasn't small. It was big, but the zine tables were set up so close to one another so that at every moment you were having eye contact with someone. And I just – like, to make it less awkward, I bought some from people I didn't want to buy from. Mm. So, yeah, that was an interesting situation yesterday. The exciting thing that is exciting to no one but me.
That's what I don't like about craft fairs, by the way.
Well,
I feel like you have to buy stuff if you like make eye contact with somebody. Which I think we had a lot to say about when you did your event in Scranton.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why I would try not to look at them deep in the eye. And But also with a craft fair from afar, usually you can look at it and like have a feel for what it is. Many of these zines, like, the title doesn't match what's inside of it, so I would have to pick it up to see what it was. And then once you've, like, opened it, you're like, oh, I feel like a dick if I'm like, nope. So Then at the end, I was like, tell me about your zine so that I wouldn't have to pick it up. But then again, I engaged them, so there was no way out of it, really. But I feel like
at the heart, you're going, tell me about your zine, which you probably put a lot of yourself into, and then you go, I'm not interested in you.
Yeah, so, like, yeah.
So it's kind of, like, weird speed dating.
But it's also like, it's just fascinating, like, some people have like so much faith in what they do, and some people like me just like generally don't. And I made such a like carefully laid out full color zine that I paid a printing company to make, and I only charged a few bucks for it, and a whole bunch of people did that, wanted it for free. And some of these people made zines that were 4 pages and charged a fair amount. And I was just like, yeah, this is fascinating. Just people who have confidence in themselves. That's cool.
Yeah, it is for them.
Yeah. Anyway. But, what I'm very excited thing. About. What?
Oh, wait, that was the neutral thing. What's the exciting for you?
That all my life I've wanted to try salted licorice, Pete, all of my life, but it's never gluten-free. But while I was going to the Zine Fest, I also went to a store that only sells Swedish candy.
Gluten-free fest.
No, it wasn't all gluten-free, but a lot of it was gluten-free, and it was carefully marked. So I have an assortment of licorices, but I'm pacing myself. I'm only having one piece a day, and I haven't gotten to the salted one yet. But it's going to be the highlight of my life. That's it. I wanted to try salted licorice my entire life. Maybe not when I was like 3, but...
because this isn't new, does this not make the snack reviews?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering, but I was just like, yeah, I don't. Well, because also this is like licorice you just got like out of one of those things where like you scoop it out. So I don't know like who made licorice or anything. But yeah, so maybe not. If you do watch my snack reviews, look forward to me reviewing Kentucky Fried Chicken toothpaste soon. It's coming this week. Oh, wait, did I tell you? Oh, yeah, no, I did tell you that. Yeah, I told you that, like, one of my views, again, it's like, if you actually have people look at you on the internet, 2,000 views is not a big deal. But for me, who, like, 12 people look at my stuff, 2,000, upwards of 2,000 views is a lot. And did I tell you how nerve-wracking it was to have people commenting? I was, like, I don't have the emotional capacity to handle people actually paying attention to what I do.
Yeah. Because the moment someone's waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yep. The moment someone's mean to me, I'm going to die. I also got compared to someone else. I told you how everyone was saying I look like Jessica Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was also told I look like the woman from the new Penguin show. You know what that is? The one with Colin Farrell?
Yeah. Did you look her up?
Yeah. I included anyone with large eyes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm waiting for a horrible comparison to come. Someone did...
She looks like Carrot Top.
What? Oh, I thought you said Lady from the Penguin does. Yeah. Someone... I couldn't tell what it was. Someone who seemed English was not their first language did slide into my DMs and say something about how they like older women. So yeah.
That's complimentary.
No. Yeah, I was like, cool. So
if you're 12, that's complimentary. But otherwise,
yeah,
you have insulted like, me. And if you're 12, it's inappropriate.
Yeah. So anyway, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm just kind of hanging out. Just work sucks. Although I do get some poetry to read this week, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that is kind of fun.
This morning I went to Wawa. They opened a Wawa in Wilkes-Barre. And I thought it was really fun.
That was new. Okay. You said yeah. Wawa's really fun?
It might be like a couple of months old. But I thought it was really funny because you walk in, it looks like a Wawa, it smells like a Wawa, except it kind of feels like a social club in a way. Not that I've ever been inside of a social club.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
There's like 20 people just standing around waiting for their food, and I realized that what this did was it took Wawa, the brand, and combined it with Wilkes-Barre, the area, to come up with poor service of your favorite food.
No, but it sounds like it's, you know, the thing they say, they call things third spaces, where places you can just hang out without having to spend money. Wawa could be a third space in Wilkes-Barre.
But, like, people weren't hanging out voluntarily.
Oh, I know. What I was saying, like, I feel like it could become that. I feel like it did become that in Philly in the one spot.
Yeah.
And it became also really dangerous. Which I feel like could also happen in Wilkes-Barre.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's next to an Aldi and a car wash. Neither of which I visited.
I like Aldi's. But... Yeah. So did you enjoy the Wawa?
I got a coffee. I really went there to get a gift card.
Ooh, who's getting a Wawa gift card from you?
I'm giving it to my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
His birthday's coming up.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Did you say icebreaker?
Yeah.
Before we get to the icebreaker, Marissa.
Yeah.
I told you that I wanted to do an episode on rabbit facts, but I couldn't find enough that were interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Two that I thought you might enjoy.
Okay.
Is that when a rabbit is excited and it jumps up in the air and like spins around, you know, kind of like a little dog might do.
Yeah.
When rabbits do this, it's called binkying.
Aww. That's adorable.
And the other thing is that rabbits eat their own poop.
Like, on the regular?
They digest it a second time so that they can get all of the nutrients from what they ate.
That's cool. Maybe everyone should do that.
So that's your holiday talking point, everybody, if you are seeing your family this Easter.
Did you know that my house, I've told you before, right, that my where I live is like swimming with rabbits?
Oh, no. That's...
that's the only pleasant thing about where I live. There are, like, multiple rabbits in my yard at all times and all over the neighborhood.
That is fun. Yeah.
Pretty fun. Every time, yeah, every time you come home, there's rabbits waiting to greet you.
We don't get a lot of rabbits at my mom's house. And
I mean, I've never seen rabbits like this in my life. This is the only charming thing about Hershey, Pennsylvania.
By the way, did you see the movie that they're making?
It's, the rabbits?
It's about Mr. and Mrs. Hershey.
Who's making this? A24, I hope.
Me too, I hope. But no, yeah, Hollywood. Alexandria Daddario is playing
really?
Mrs. Hershey. Yeah.
Oh, I wish you was playing Milton Hershey. That's interesting. There'll probably be some...
What made me feel bad is that people were complaining about it, like, oh, Hollywood's run out of, you know, things to cover in movies because they're doing one on the people who started the Hershey Chocolate. But it's like, the guy did a lot of stuff in that area.
Yeah. I was
like, he's opened schools.
Not bad.
And, yeah.
There's like, that's like pretty decent. Oh, the Finn Wittrock is going to play Milton Hershey.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I forget what he's from, but Hershey was probably around, like, what, fucking Victorian times or something? This would probably be a fun period piece, and he has a period film face. He looks like he belongs in the 20s.
That looks like you, then. Should be.
Me?
Keeping your eyes peeled to be an extra.
Oh, man. Oh, don't even. I wonder if he's going to film here. Anyway,
it said in places across Pennsylvania they were planning to film.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'm sure brown people weren't allowed to be around much. So I probably could have been an extra. But anyway.
Yeah, but maybe if they need a Jessica Jones type.
Yeah.
It's true that both of the people compared you to were white, so.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Speaking of chocolate, it's Easter time, so candy comes to mind. And there's a chocolates place around here, like, that makes candy, where you can go and you can get chocolate versions of different things, like a football, a tractor, a dollar, a hairdryer. These are not to scale, by the way.
If I don't like your icebreaker, I'm going to pitch a different one. So let's see.
Pretending that you have no dietary consequences, Marissa, what would you like to see molded into chocolate so that you could eat it?
A chocolate bar. Okay.
That's so meta.
Let me just put the alternative icebreaker, which is, what is something you eat that makes you feel terrible about yourself after you eat it?
You know, I could actually answer this because it's related to my visit to Wawa today.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So I'm in Wawa, and I'm like, I feel like I got to buy something besides just a gift card, which was a bad instinct because I could have been in and out. But because I got a coffee, I ended up having to stay for a long time. So while I was there, I got a coffee, and then I got a donut with it. But then when I got home, I realized that yesterday, as I was hunting for Blackberry Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I went to is it a Family Dollar? I think it's a Family Dollar. Because they usually have some of these limited edition sodas. And they didn't have... they didn't have the sugar-free one. You know, what is it? Dr. Pepper Zero.
Yeah.
So, But again, I was in a store, so I felt like I had to buy something. So I bought the little mini donuts.
Okay.
Powdered ones from Tasty Cake. There were only six of them in a package. So when I left Wawa, I ate a donut. And then when I got home, I ate six mini donuts. And I've been feeling bad about myself all day. Because I knew I didn't need either one of them. I wasn't, like, craving either one of them. I guess I could have gotten a fruit cup at Wawa or something.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that wouldn't have gone with coffee. Screw that.
Let me see. What makes you feel bad about myself?
And if I had to choose, I think that I would like a bear made of chocolate or perhaps chocolate broccoli.
Okay. That's actually kind of fun, chocolate broccoli. I'll take chocolate pizza, a chocolate slice of pizza.
I think they have that.
Okay, that's cute. I want it to have various types of chocolate though, not just one milk chocolate. Like to have like different toppings of different types of chocolate.
Like if it was a pepperoni pizza and like not legitimately, but like if the pepperoni was made out of like white chocolate instead. I know you would not want white chocolate, but...
No, it's okay. It could be white chocolate.
By the way, Marissa, have you tried this? I know you got the peanut butter and jelly. What about the lava peanut butter cup?
I didn't try them, though. I heard they're delicious.
Okay. All right.
Every time I try and review a candy and I look back at the footage, I think it's a pretty bad review. I actually have scrapped candy reviews.
Maybe get better.
So I don't review candy as much. I don't know what to say about candy. Yeah, I reviewed something and I just didn't even... I just threw out all the footage. So, yeah, no, I don't... I try not... I did eat sugar cookie peanut butter cups by mistake because we're in my house. And I thought they had gone bad because I was like, why are there big chunks in the... Can I really? Yeah.
My mom got those for her office. She's like, take some if you want. I'm like, hell no.
They were weirdly unnecessary, but kind of delicious. Anyway, also, I will say that made me feel bad. Yeah, those also made me feel bad. Usually, when I eat more than one piece of candy, I feel very bad because I'm not supposed to have a lot of candy. So I feel bad physically, and I also feel bad emotionally. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of things that make you feel bad emotionally, or should at least, I'm going to talk about something today that's not a happy topic, despite it being our Easter episode.
Although yay!
It's a short episode, but it should have an impact on us all. I thought I did an episode on this because when I found out about this, and I don't know how I found out about this, I remember talking about it a lot, but I guess not to Pete. So today we're going to talk about ortolans, which is a bird, which is also sometimes goes by the name ortolan bunting. And it is a small Eurasian songbird. And they are said to be about the size of a sparrow. So the tiny little things.
Little tiny things. I like sparrows. And why
are we going to talk about them today? We're going to talk about their role as a French delicacy. Now.
Cool.
Yeah, you might be thinking, like, they're so tiny. Why would people, like, how, like, this seems like kind of a waste of time. Well, let's talk about how crazy eating ortolans is. So, despite the fact that trapping and killing ortolans is forbidden in the European Union, these birds are a sought-after delicacy, mostly in France. In the recent years, they've come to represent an illicit and exclusive dish reserved only for those who know where to find it, since it is very hard to find it these days.
Yeah, because it's illegal.
On shows like Succession and Billions, ortolan has been used to represent the rare experiences available only to the very wealthy. So, yes, ortolan has been eaten in both of those shows. I never saw it.
Now, Marissa... With your FOMO, does that make you feel like you should have to try one?
No. Okay. Because it seems way too gross. Also, I do like some exotic meats. Like, I do like an exotic jerky and stuff like that.
Like rabbit.
No, I'm not a rabbit jerky. I didn't like good or jerky. I draw the line at certain things. Something about like I even like pate, which a lot of grosses out a lot of people. But there's not like for some reason bird related delicacies usually creep me out. Like I was unknowingly fed foie gras on New Year's. They gave us something that was like they were like this is our free amuse-bouche, and it just looked like a little like truffle, and they didn't tell us. That was wild to not tell us, and we were like, "This tastes kind of weird." And Aaron was like, "This is fucking disgusting." And then we realized it was foie gras, which I didn't even like. I thought everyone was shamed out of eating that at this point, but yeah,
Which
if
is
you don't
like
know,
fat stuffed duck,
yeah, they're
right?
like ducks that are like force fed, just, like. And then kill. Yeah, it's just really gross. They're just like brutally force fed, I think. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of force fed, let's talk about how they
What a way to
prepare
go.
oregano. Yeah. So to prepare the French delicacy of ortolan, a person must obviously first capture the tiny bird, and the time to capture them is usually as it attempts to migrate south for the winter. Once ortolan is captured, they must either be kept in a covered cage or box for about 3 weeks, or else they'll have their eyes removed because these ortolans need to remain in endless darkness for 3 weeks. So,
I'm
the reason
sorry.
why they're kept in the dark is these birds react to the dark, I guess because they don't know what time it is. They'll like keep eating, they'll gorge themselves. I don't fully understand it, but yeah, as long as they're kept in the dark, they'll keep eating. So, during this 3 weeks of darkness, the birds will gorge themselves on grain, usually millet seed, until they double their bulk and
Now, I
become
have to
fat
admit,
rich.
I'm watching a basketball game at the same time. Is this if they're captured?
What do you mean?
This is like if you were going to prepare this meal.
Yeah. I'm
It's not
explaining how they
like
prepare.
naturally for 3 weeks
No.
a bird just goes into
No,
the
no, no.
dark.
Yeah, that's not
Okay.
a, yeah, that's not a time of their lives. Yeah. You to prepare them to eat, you capture them, put them in darkness for 3 weeks, and just have them gorge themselves. Once they're sufficiently fattened, the preparer will take the bird and drown it to death in a vat of I don't know how to pronounce it, Armagnac brandy. Okay, so the bird is fattened, blinded, or put in darkness, fattened, then
And
drowned.
drowned in booze.
Yeah. So once the ortolan is dead and well marinated in the brandy, it is cooked.
Had they
Plucked.
plucked it yet? Oh,
I
God,
was gonna say
they.
it is cooked, plucked, and served, which I read that multiple times. It did say cooked then plucked, which made less sense to me, but whatever. So cooked, plucked, and served. Now, my understanding though, I looked at pictures and it does look like sometimes they pluck its whole body, but I think there's still like feathers around its face. Then, if you are one of the exclusive diners who gets to eat this. You put a napkin over your head, you pick up the ortolan, I assume by his head, and you consume it feet first in one single bite, eating every single part, including its bones, except for his head and beak. Just waiting to see what Pete
Why
thinks of
can't you
this.
eat the head?
I don't know. I think the beak might, maybe the beak is too hard, or just you need something to hold it by, because you're supposed to eat it in one single bite. And then
Can
you
you put
bite it,
ketchup on it?
and the head falls to the plate. What?
Can you put ketchup on it?
No. Now.
Also, I'm sorry, did you say? Oh, you put the napkin on the bird's head?
No, you put the napkin on your own head, and I'll explain why
Okay.
momentarily. Now, there are multiple reasons people say why these napkins are placed on your head when you eat ortolan, because that is the traditional way to eat ortolan. You put a napkin over your
Thank God for
face.
traditions.
The ortolan is supposedly so delicious that people put a napkin over their heads as they feast on the creature so that it can block out all other sights and sounds. Some also say, oh, wait, wait, wait. Some also say that the napkin captures the steaming aromas to enhance the gastronomic experience. So it just like kind of keeps it all sealed in under that napkin. However, others say that the reason you put the napkin over your head...
You're hot boxing yourself.
Others say that you put the napkin over your head to hide your shame and to hide your sin of gluttony from God.
That makes more sense.
Yes. Apparently, this whole tradition of putting your napkin over your head when you eat it, like perhaps the first people to eat it did not do that, but apparently a priest called Jean-Alphim, okay, he's probably French, so I'm not Jean-Alphim Briat Savarin, who originally did it to hide, his gluttony from God. So
cool. How big of a napkin are we talking here?
It's like a cloth napkin.
And the function is to hide the top of my head?
Like, your whole face could fit under it. Those cloth napkins are pretty big.
Do they cut a hole in it? So that I can put a bird through it?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't put it, like, over the front of your face. You drape it over your head so you eat the bird under it.
Maybe I just have a big head, but I can't imagine.
Google ortolan eating right now, and you'll see people. Look at Google ortolan eating, then look at the images, and that's you'll see it immediately. Oh, sometimes they do pluck the face, but I've seen pictures where the face is not plucked.
Yeah, that's like a dish towel.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, it's a large towel. So, in 1979,
you should see these. It looks like they took the bird and deep fried it and then just pulled it out.
Yes. So as I said, it is banned to hunt ortolan in the European Union, and this was banned in 1979, and ortolans are deemed protected species. But in places like France, this rule wasn't initially enforced. So even though the European Union banned it, France didn't ban it at first. And just basically having it banned fueled the dish's desirability. Apparently, when former French President François Mitterrand lay dying on New Year's Eve in 1995, he reportedly enjoyed a lavish meal that included not one, but two ortolans.
Yeah, that's why he died.
Still consumed under a napkin, of course. However, the dish eventually was banned.
So many people want to get right with God when they're dying, and this guy's like, I got to eat two of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Under a napkin, so God doesn't see.
So the dish was banned from French restaurants in 1999. So that's crazy that it was banned from the European Union in 1979, but France didn't ban it from restaurants in 1999. And the bird was declared endangered, including in France. However, despite the fact that it was banned in 2014, Michelin star chefs like, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, sorry, Gerard and Alain Ducasse were fighting to get the bird back on their menus to revive a culinary tradition, saying that it dated back to Roman times. They desperately wanted to
Didn't they have slaves in Roman times too?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Glad we don't want to grow at all as a civilization.
Yeah. These chefs desperately wanted to hunt and serve the bird for just 1 week a year. But they were unsuccessful. Their campaign went nowhere, and people were like, no. So you might be like, why are they fighting so hard to get this back on the menu? Like, how good could it be? Well, it is enveloped in fat that tastes subtly like hazelnut, said French chef Michel Gérard. He told the New York Times in 2014. And to eat the flesh, the fat, and its little bones hot all together, it's like being taken to another dimension. Yeah, I think...
Dimension of assholes.
Anthony Bourdain actually tried it. He offered a similar description in 2011, telling Stephen Colbert, it's sort of a hot rush of fat, guts, bones, blood, and meat. And it's really delicious.
Sounds like it.
I heard people say that it was like a religious experience. And I forgot whether this was, oh, I think it was actually a quote from Billions. But like he was saying, oh, it's a religious experience, especially when you feel its ribs crack or something.
I mean, well, why kill it then? Why don't you just eat it whole? Like alive.
What I don't understand, well, because it's not marinated in brandy peat. What I don't understand is, like, I wonder how soft it gets being marinated, because you're, let's look at the pictures. You're, okay, so it looks like its little talons might be taken off, but not in every picture. Sometimes it looks like its feet are still intact. So, again, you're not eating the beak, which would probably be hard, but I feel like the feet would hurt. And how soft can bones be? Like, I can't imagine that's not a choking hazard. But yeah, so all that said, it's obviously incredibly rare and hard to find, but people are still said to be eating it in France. I don't know. The idea of like eating the guts just sounds so gross to me. Do I like grilled intestines? Yes. But I don't know. It's the way they describe it sounds gross. I also don't want to like be breaking animals' bones in my mouth.
I also like for a country of obese people all trying to lose weight. I shouldn't say all trying to lose weight, because I was behind some guy at the grocery store and I was like, there's nothing healthy in this guy's whole entire order. But anyway, yeah, to just have something soaked in fat just seems...
Well, no, it's soaked in brandy. It's not soaked in fat.
Well, but they fattened it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does have a layer of fat in its own. That tastes like hazelnut pea.
If this is doing There's something for you guys, you can go back early in the catalog and listen to my episode on vorophilia.
Yeah, it really does.
Marissa, birds have hollow bones, too.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains a lot.
That might make them a little more snappable.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because I guess you need crunch in there, too, for these sickos.
Actually, I'm full of shit. We're eating chicken wings. Like, full chicken wings, like, with the whole, like, wing part. Not, like, the tiny ones that you, like, get at a bar. We're eating those, and I was explaining to Aaron that he left the best part because he didn't bite the bone part that's really crispy at the edge of the wing. And he was like, that's bone. And I was like, yeah, I eat the bone. So I guess I guess because it's hollow. So I'm full of shit. Maybe I love ortolan. Anyway, so I will just say that even though ortolan poaching is illegal in France, there is still said to be a thriving black market. And it is said that hunters illegally catch about 30,000 ortolans. 30,000 of the 300,000 ortolans that pass through southwest of France every migration season.
Right, so that can't be hard, though.
But I'm saying, like, there's 30,000 people in the know every year? Man. Who are these 30,000 rich people?
Not if you're that one priest who ate two of them.
Yeah, you're right. Every person in this world should experience ortolan twice before their death. I can only wish... No, I would never want to eat this. I only like bird if it's crispy or not really fatty.
Do you feel like there's like a power thing associated with this?
Probably. Don't you think? Or power or just like knowing that you're doing something super exclusive these days. Like back in the day, I don't know what the fuck. But this ortolan looks like it's in a jacket. I just said jacket potato like I'm British. I don't say jacket potato. Ortolan looks like it's between in the middle of a baked potato in this one picture. Ugh. Anyway, that's my topic. I know it's short, but there was nothing else of note about it, but I felt like you all needed to know.
Not a fan of this.
Yeah, I suggest, unless you're going to be really upset, because it is pretty upsetting, because you will see a lot of dead ortolans, then they look cute little birds, but if you want to see the people with their napkins over their heads, Google ortolan eating. Anyway,
this reminds me of Looney Tunes. Like if a rich person is looking at you and they're hungry, and then you turn into an ortolan.
For sure. you got any questions? No, just say no and give me a plug.
and you can't put ketchup on it.
No! The French would never.
Or dip it in hot sauce.
It's time for plugs. It's time for plugs. It's time for plugs. It's time for plugs.
Well, Marissa, based off of this wonderful topic that you brought to ruin our Easter, do you have any plugs?
Do you have any? Well, I think
everybody, the Cleveland Cavaliers are going into the playoffs, and we're hoping that they don't go out in the first round, because that would be very disappointing. So root for them if you're watching basketball. The WNBA begins in a month, so start getting yourself prepared for that. And also, don't forget that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/y'allheard, where you'll be able to hear me ruin a movie called Gunslingers that came out this week, I think, and it's not good.
Oh, and there'll also be multiple food reviews that I realize you haven't seen because I put them on my secret TikTok.
The top secret TikTok.
Yeah. I let Alicia know my TikTok.
Wow.
No one else.
Wow.
Only Alicia. You don't have TikTok?
No, I know.
Yeah. I will plug... I'll plug tofu. Eat tofu instead of ortolans, okay? It can be made well. You just need to press all the water out of it first. I don't know. I wasn't ready with plugs.
And tofu you could probably, like, cut into the shape of an ortolan.
Yeah, but then it won't have the crunch of the bones.
True. I guess you could put sticks in it.
Yeah, put sticks in tofu.
Uncooked spaghetti.
Pretend it's your ortolan. Yeah! Put your tofu in brandy, put some dry spaghetti in it, and pretend it's a dead bird. Mm-hmm. Anyway, guys, you can call us at y'all.
For this and other recipes, you can subscribe to Marissa's Substack.
If you want to see my Substack, go on my Instagram at RissVandal. I have everything linked. If you want to call us, you can call us at 570-PODBOD1, or you can email us at hello?
Y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
Okay.
I have to think of it every week.
Okay. And thanks for listening, guys. You have yourself a nice Easter. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.